Welcome to
We heard
it's
from
a
Bookshop
question of balance
Santa Cruz in the break, Kaufman. And I wanted to let you know that they have a regular program of wonderful authors appearing. And coming up on
out and
May
about
17th,
thought-provoking conversations
Pulitzer
on the street.
Winning author Michael Chabon will be reading and signing
We consider topics with local relevance
essays,
and global
Pops,
significance.
Fatherhood in Pieces, which illuminates the meaning, magic,
and, now,
and mysteries
here's your host
of
for
fatherhood.
It's a question of balance,
Great opportunity
Ruth
to
Kaplan.
See this acclaimed writer in person. So that's May 17th, 7 p.m. at Bookshop Santa Cruz. Then on May 24th, best-selling San Francisco author
Welcome
Andrew
to the
Sean
show
Greer
where we
will be at Bookshop to discuss and sign the new paperback edition of his novel
Less,
which was just awarded the Pulitzer Prize for Literature.
For the Arts Hour,
and Less is a satire
interviews
on the American abroad,
and
a rumination on guests
time
from all areas
heart,
of the arts,
and a bittersweet romance
topic hour,
of Chances
I go out
lost,
and about and talk to
contemplating
people on the street
about
our
a wide variety of
human
different
comedy.
Subjects.
So that's
and the show
Andrew
combines
Sean
a debate
Greer
topic
with
Santa
Cruz
on
May 24th
because I feel discussion
and Michael Chabon
are two
on
of
May
the most 17th.
Vital ways and you can
we
get
engage
more information
with the world.
On both those
well,
events.
This week
at
we're
Bookshop
considering
Santa Cruz.
What does tolerance
look like? The Museum of Tolerance defines tolerance as a fair and objective attitude towards those whose opinions and practices differ from one's own, and also the commitment to respect human
Whoa,
dignity.
Damn it.
And it
I
points out
wrong?
Every person okay. is both a purveyor and beneficiary of tolerance. Depending on the day and one's perspective, it can feel like our society is becoming more inclusive, caring and understanding, or that it is still mired in prejudice, cruelty and intolerance. What does tolerance mean to you? Have you examples of being tolerant towards others or others treating you with respect? Is it a case of the golden rule, treat others as you would wish to be treated yourself? Or is it more complex than that? Should we be expected to tolerate all ways of being in the world? And if not, how and where do we draw the line? I've been out and about this week getting opinions, and this week all the interviewees except for one were college or high school students. Let's hear my first conversation. Hi, my name's Ruth Coplam from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks so much for stopping to be interviewed. What are your names?
Sophia.
And Aaron.
Well, Sophia and Aaron, thank you very much for stopping for Out and About. And this week I'm considering, what does tolerance look like? I'm wondering how you would characterise tolerance. What does it look like for you?
I think tolerance is kind of like a... I don't know.
I mean, if I said, are you a tolerant person, how would that show up in your life? You know, I mean, tolerance usually is about things that we don't agree with. That's where you have to be tolerant, do you know what I mean? So I'm just wondering how you think about tolerance and how perhaps that happens in your own lives.
I think I'm probably pretty bad with tolerance. I think when things happen, it's like I kind of respond negatively to them. But I try and, if it's like a reasonable thing, to not go off the rails.
What about in society? I mean, tolerance of different views that are different to ours. You know, for instance, gay rights or people with different religions.
I feel like being tolerant is probably when you experience people who have different views than your own and you're able to just let them be happy. If it makes them happy and it's not hurting anyone else, then that's tolerance.
That's right.
Yeah. Is that how you would distinguish between what we should tolerate and what we shouldn't? Because obviously there's some debate about what should be tolerated. Is it about hurting one another?
I think it's more of like, you know, my thing is like, if you're not doing anything that hurts someone, then you should be allowed to do it. You know, about like the whole gay rights thing. Gay rights isn't, you know, if someone's gay, it's not hurting anyone. You're not like doing anything wrong or not taking someone else's right away to love, so you should be able to love however you feel.
Right,
you know?
Like there's a difference between someone standing on the street and, because people stand on that corner all the time and say, they'll be like yelling on top of a box about how we're all evil sinners going to hell. I mean, I'm not necessarily tolerant towards that because they're hurting people, but if you just want to date a man and you're a man, it's not there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. What are the advantages of tolerance, do you think?
I think a tolerant society probably means like a generally people are a lot happier. You know, like I feel like if you and if you're free to do as you please, you're more likely to, you know, be happy. But, you know, some people that kind of goes beyond the bounds of we can't let everyone do what they want to do, because some people want to go out there and, you know, stand on the soapbox and say, oh, you can't be gay because I said so, you know, and then that hurts people. So,
right. Yeah. Some people feel by being tolerant that it's almost like you have to give up your own position or your own views. Is that something you ever feel like, you know, do you think it's possible to be really against homosexuality, for instance, but still be tolerant and that not affect your own position?
I feel like for people who were raised very religiously and they were told that when they were children that, you know, this is wrong, maybe a lot of those people, when they get older and they have a kid who turns out to be gay, then they are able to think outside of their little box and realize that, you know, it's not just the other people who are like that, who are sinners. And I feel like you can be against it and you can say, well, I'm not going to be gay, or, you know, I don't believe that's right, but I'm not going to go and try and take rights away from people who are, and I'm not going to bother them.
Yeah. I think it kind of, you know, it's the same deal where that's kind of what I mean by being harmful, is that if you're trying to stick true to your own views and say like, oh, I don't think it's right to be gay, by saying, like going out and saying that, then you're harming people. So it's not really, you know, being tolerant. So I don't know if it is kind of possible to be both. I think it's more
so
of
you
like
feel
a,
even just saying you don't agree with something is not being tolerant,
well, then
or hurting people.
Then it's harmful to, well, it depends on if you do it publicly or not. Like you can express your like views or something with people that are common minded.
Yeah.
But if you're out here in front of the movie theater downtown shouting into a microphone saying like, hey, you can't be gay, you're going to hell, you're going to be tortured for all eternity. That's like, people could take that and be like, well, like, I really don't want to be here. And that puts them in an unsafe space, in an unsafe situation. So,
yeah. That's a good point, actually. I mean, there's this argument all the time for free speech or whatever. But I really think there is a line to be drawn between, you know, saying what you believe and what you want, but how you say it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a real differentiation, I think, to be made about how you say something. Would you agree with that?
I think, I definitely think so. There's, the whole, like, linguistics thing is also just a huge, like, because you can say one thing and have it be interpreted several different ways in order to skew it. So the whole free speech thing should be more of like a, in my opinion at least, more of like a controlled thing, where if you're somewhere and you're being a disruption, you shouldn't be allowed to, you know, like, display that.
I think that, like, because we do live in America and we do have free speech, it's hard to put regulations on that. But, like, for example, in a place like Germany, if you're doing things that, you know, are like Nazi symbols, you can get arrested. But in America, if you have a Confederate flag and you're saying racist things and saying the N-word and stuff, you can't get arrested. And I feel like that's, not that they should get, like, arrested, but there should be, like, a penalty for being, you know, for promoting something that tore our country apart.
You can be president.
For years, and it killed people. And you can be president. But,
I was just reading about there's a new memorial to the people who were lynched. And all around America. And, you know, one of them was a woman whose husband was lynched, and she complained about that. And then she was lynched herself by being hung upside down and slit open so that her unborn child fell out of her. And you're like, oh, dear God. You know, you read things like that and you're like, how could this happen? And then you just think what that was actually about, that just that somebody had a different color skin and had the audacity to think that they should be equal or something. And so, you know, somewhere there's a line. And I think, like you mentioned, Germany, and they obviously have direct experience of what happens if you don't put any controls on that kind of hate speech and marginalizing certain parts of society.
Yeah. Well, I think another good point to bring about, you know, just tolerance in general, along the same lines, is kind of also the gun debate. Like, people say, like, oh, we have to have guns because, you know, we should have guns. But it's like, it's getting to the point where, you know, anyone can go and buy a gun and then shoot up at school and kill 30 people. And it's like, okay, well, obviously that was not okay. So it's like, that could be another thing where seeing someone's views, which is like, you know, there's someone's views, but it's also like, this is not right. You know, this is an issue.
Well, I think what's most important is like the media putting out correct statistics on what really happens. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. When people buy guns, of course there are people who are going to be able to protect themselves, but in most instances, the gun is going to be used against you.
Yeah.
If you have a gun in your house, your kids are more likely to shoot you, to shoot themselves.
Yes.
There's just a lot more other, like, I don't know, dangers and negatives than just being able to theoretically protect yourself if something happens.
Yeah.
So I think it's just having a media that actually promotes facts instead of opinions.
Yeah, I mean, we are in this terrible post-truth kind of era right now, and the whole characterization of the media is just being destroyed, and I think it's actually very dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, to undermine the media is something that totalitarian states do, so it's almost like the truth can't be found, or it can only be found from certain sources. And then of course you get the echo chamber thing of like, you're just getting your truth from whatever source you think is the truth. So there's two world-famous artists called Ilya and Emilia Kabakov, and they have a project called The Ship of Tolerance, which it's an installation where they build a wooden ship. It usually takes over a year, and they go into schools. They've done it all around the world with children, and they do drawings of tolerance, and then they make that into the sail, all the little individual drawings. And I just was thinking about that a lot, and wondering whether values are something that are more universal, that people can generally agree on. You know, how those show up is a different matter. But I'm wondering whether you think more sort of teaching in the educational system about values might be a good way of increasing tolerance of people's different beliefs and religions and, you know, skins.
Well, I grew up in a fairly conservative era, or like not era, but area. So I think it kind of was like taught less almost, which is really a disappointment. Like, to think like it wasn't avoided, but it also wasn't explicitly said like, hey, we should talk about, like, you know, values and not being hateful, you know. Like, I can't recall like an actual lesson where we all sat down and she's like taught about even just like ethics or stuff like that. I had to come to college to hear any of that. So I think they should promote that more in elementary schools and middle schools, you know.
Because I think, you know, my experience of parenting and what I've read is it really is more less about what you say and more about what you do.
Yeah.
And so if the way you treat people is not tolerant, then your children are going to see that. But I think naturally children don't really see color and they don't see belief and things like that. So it seems like, I don't know, it seems like it'd be hard to be against having some values of tolerance. Particularly to me, it seems strange because America, you know, is a Christian predominantly country, which is all about supposedly loving kindness.
Well, I'm from Sacramento, like in the Sacramento area, and he's from Southern California, so it's very different. Just the population is very different. When I went to Southern California, it's, you know, predominantly white, rich people, and where I was growing up, it was very middle class, just a mixture. And like growing up, there were people of all different backgrounds, nationalities, religions, and it wasn't strange for me, like dealing with their culture and also like being tolerant. That was just how I was raised because I would, you know, experience them. And I don't know, it wasn't like a big step for me, but I feel like a lot of hate and ignorance grows in places where a lot of people are all the same and they expect everyone to be the same. So unless they, like in those schools, they try to really push hard for the lesson to be taught in school because they can't learn it outside the classroom, then they might not ever learn it.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week, what does tolerance look like? And I was talking there about Ilya and Emilia Kavakov's wonderful Ship of Tolerance children's installation project. And if you would like more information about that, they have a wonderful website, shipoftolerance.com. And if you go there, you can get information. They have wonderful photos from all around the world, all the different places that they have done this installation. There's a great video, and there's also an opportunity to support the Ship of Tolerance for future installations if you wish to do so. So again, that's the shipoftolerance.com. We're going to go to a break now, but we'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com.
No white horses to play the game, and I wish I knew your name. Something about you in the rain. Did I or didn't I say it's forever? Well, I know I said it, baby, it just goes nowhere. Well, we can do the things we want. We can do the things we like. But if we're taking all the time, well, I just don't think that it's right. Just that. I think that there's more to us than just that.
It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I'm the second generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore. We feature an extensive selection of new and used books, children's books and toys, gifts, cards, magazines, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right book or gift. We hope you can join us for our author events each week, featuring best-selling authors and books of local interest. And if you can't get downtown, our website has over 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. We even have experts on site to help you publish your own book or family history. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Bookshop Santa Cruz has been an independent bookseller for over half a century in the community we love. Visit Bookshop Santa Cruz downtown. We love our customers and the books that make it all possible. Bookshop Santa Cruz, online and in downtown Santa Cruz.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our feature, Out and About, Thought-Provoking Conversations on the Street. We heard from Bookshop Santa Cruz in the break, and I wanted to let you know that they have a regular program of wonderful authors appearing, and coming up on May 17th, Pulitzer Prize-winning author Michael Chabon will be reading and signing his new collection of essays called Pops, Fatherhood in Pieces, which illuminates the meaning, magic, and mysteries of fatherhood. So a great opportunity to see this acclaimed Pulitzer Prize-winning writer in person. That's May 17th, 7 p.m. at Bookshop Santa Cruz. It's a free event, and you can find out more information about Michael Chabon's event and also the other upcoming authors at bookshopsantacruz.com. That's bookshopsantacruz.com. Well, back to our topic discussion this week. Let's hear my next conversation.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks very much for stopping for Out and About. What are your names?
I'm Bernadette Bossinger.
Alexandra Bossinger.
Well, thanks so much for stopping. And this week we're looking at, what does tolerance look like? I'm wondering how you would characterize tolerance, what it means for you in society generally.
I think usually it means an acceptance of other people's values, ideals, religions, backgrounds. But I think that that concept has been stretched to a breaking point, and it's kind of taken on a whole new meaning. It's sort of become almost like a weapon to be used against people who are trying to evoke change, against the crime and the drugs and all of the problems that we're facing as a community right now.
Okay. Interesting. Well, what about you?
I agree with my mom really strongly. We have the same ideals of what tolerance is.
Okay. So how would you distinguish between what should and should not be tolerated? What would be the criteria?
I think the bottom line is, if it's hurting somebody else, it should not be tolerated. If you're doing something to yourself, that's one thing. You have your own choices to make. But if your behavior is affecting and impacting other people in the community in a negative way, it should not be tolerated. Whether it's stealing or attacking people or chasing them down the street or spitting on them or yelling at them or all the things that are going on in our community right now.
So I guess this is a common way of thinking about tolerance,
Good
you know,
point.
As long as it's not hurting other people. I guess the key is how we define that. I mean, somebody I was talking to earlier was saying that, you know, someone standing on a street corner and, you know, yelling out about, for instance, you know, gay people are going to hell, that is hurting people, even though it's not a physically hurting people. And so I'm just wondering, how would you decide, you know, what is hurtful? Where is the line?
Well, I'm part of the gay community, so I draw the line when people start insulting, like, the LGBTQ community, and when, like, just, like, verbal battery and physical battery, that's where, like, I draw my line. Because it's like, okay, so you're doing it to yourself, I don't care, but if you're hurting people in the community around you, like me or my friends, then that's where I draw the line at my tolerance level.
So there's a being hurt sort of psychologically or emotionally, yeah, as well as physically. I mean, there's a pushback by certain elements of society, you know, against sort of the idea of safe spaces, for instance, in universities. So do you think there's a kind of balance to be found?
Yes, there is.
I mean, to me, it seems generally fairly clear when something is abusive or not. I mean, you know, you can have your own view and you can keep it to yourself and it might be hateful to other people, but if you're not expressing it hatefully, then, you know,
Exactly. I couldn't agree more, you know. And I think a lot of people have lost sight of that. They, like, the idea of free speech, I think people have taken that to mean that it's okay to hurt other people with their words, and then that leads to hurting them with their actions. And I believe in free speech 100%, but I don't believe in being allowed to hurt other people with it.
What do you see as the advantages of tolerating different views from our own?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
What do you see as the advantages of tolerance in society?
The advantages of tolerance are...
I got this one. I think that when we live in a tolerant community, it creates better harmony and it gives us an opportunity to experience other people's experiences, which then grows more tolerance, because when you're familiar with other people's struggles or their triumphs or their dreams, it encourages you to be more involved. And I think, you know, it kind of comes back again to, you know, if we could have a community that was safe for everybody, it would be ideal.
Yeah. Some countries like Germany have very strict laws about hate speech, obviously, because of their history. I mean, do you feel that there is room for perhaps some, you know, regulation in terms of this area?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I do.
What would that look like for you?
I think that it comes right back to, if it's hurting somebody else, it shouldn't be tolerated. And I don't think that anybody ever planned for our rights as American citizens to supersede anybody else's. And when you have somebody yelling hurtful things, that they're saying that their right to yell things is more important than your right to be safe.
Yeah. That takes me back to the whole sort of smoking argument. You know, it's right. Like if you have the right to smoke, then, you know, everyone else doesn't have the right not to smoke, right, because they can't help but inhale it.
Right.
Yeah.
Go smoke in your car.
Yeah. But there is this pushback against sort of snowflakes, you know, and people being sort of too sensitive. And I mean, what do you think about that?
I think there's a certain element to that that rings true, specifically because, you know, because you're offended by something doesn't necessarily mean it's offensive.
Right.
So a lot of people can run around saying, oh, that's so offensive and I was so offended. But is it really offensive behavior? Was it really hurtful? Was it just something you didn't agree with? Because there's a big difference between being hurtful and somebody being hurtful and somebody expressing views that you don't agree with.
So how would we judge that? I mean, do you think it's sort of like a majority view that, yes, this behavior was unacceptable? I mean, is it a sort of consensus thing? Or
I think that's a lot of gray area there. And I think that every community would have to address it for themselves. And it would be based on, you know, the needs of the members of that particular community.
Yeah. Are there particular areas that you feel tolerance should particularly apply to?
No, not really. Like, tolerance should be what people think tolerance should be. Sorry.
That's very tolerant of you. So basically, it's just difference. I mean, it doesn't really matter what that is.
Different people have different tolerance to different things.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. So, like, some person might be really tolerant to one thing, while other people aren't really tolerant to that and are like, hey, that's hurtful.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
One thing I think that's quite common, it seems to me, is that people feel by being tolerant of certain attitudes, for instance, you mentioned, you know, sort of gay rights or whatever, that somehow that's going to erode their own position and make it seem like they actually agree with that. Whereas I think the whole point of tolerance is you only have to be tolerant if you don't agree with something. So is that something you've kind of seen?
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. And when I was living overseas in Japan, I learned a really valuable lesson. Just because somebody smiles and nods when you're speaking does not necessarily mean they agree with you. But you can be gracious to people who have different viewpoints and perspectives without rocking the boat. And I really see that as tolerance, you know, is being able to hear other people's point of views. And as long as it's not hateful or violent, I don't see any problem with it.
Yeah. There's two world-famous artists, Ilya and Emilia Kabakov, and they have a project called The Ship of Tolerance that they've done around the world with children. And they go in over a long period of time. They often go to areas with a high number of immigrants. And they build a wooden ship. And then the children do drawings of what tolerance means to them on canvas. And then they make a sail out of all the different drawings. And they kind of do workshops with the children of explaining, you know, just difference, really. And there's lot with no value judgments, but there's just lots of different sort of views in the world. So I'm wondering whether you think that if we could address values with young children in our education system, whether there would be some value to that.
Oh, absolutely. I think that the younger children are exposed to the bigger concept of life, like respect and tolerance and acceptance. I think the more it gets incorporated into their being and into their worldview, you know, it's kind of like the opposite of hate. When kids are learning hate at home, whether it's through hate speech or behavior towards different sectors of our society that their parents don't agree with, you end up with the same situation where... Yeah. If we can teach them when they're young, I think it has a much bigger impact when they get older.
I mean, from my perspective, I think hate is taught. I don't think children come into the world hating.
I agree completely.
And what about you? During your education, did you have any sort of teaching in values or tolerance or diversity?
Well, I mainly learned tolerance and all that stuff from my mom. But at school, my school didn't really teach that stuff. They really were about hiding your emotions and just, like, not expressing yourself at all. And that's why I transferred, because I could express myself. And it was really more easy to fit in here than up where I was going to school.
So maybe there's something about values education, but also about being yourself. Because I think that's something I think a lot of children, sadly, don't get to feel they can be.
I would agree with you 100%. In fact, one day Alex had had a rough day at school. I had recently allowed her to get a short haircut, and she was really loving it. And she came home, and she was drifting off to sleep, and she said, "Mom, thank you so much for being my mom. I'm so glad you let me be me, and I don't have to be like the other kids at school trying to be what their parents want them to be." And it just broke my heart for all those little kids. She was in fourth grade. I mean, it was just like, oh my gosh, these kids are so little, and they're already having to conform to the paradigm that's presented to them. They have to be thin. I mean, there were girls with eating disorders in fourth grade. I mean, they have to have the right clothes, the right shoes. I mean, it's just heartbreaking.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
Yes, it was definitely a pleasure.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And this week, our Out and About feature, where I go out on the street and have conversations with people who agree to speak to me. And the idea of the topic hour of the show is that it maybe just gets you thinking about something that maybe you weren't even thinking about before, and whether you agree or disagree with what people have to say, that it just starts a thought process, perhaps, to clarify your own feelings about a particular issue. So next up, I spoke to Enzo and Nina.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thanks very much for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names?
Nina.
Enzo.
Well, great to talk to you for Out and About. And this week I'm thinking about, what does tolerance look like? What I'm thinking about is tolerance of different views in society.
Okay.
So maybe, you know, gay rights or different religions or whatever, whether you think that that's something that's necessary in society for us to try and, I don't know, understand other people's points of view and allow them to have them? Or do you think we should be trying to convert, you know, society into specific views? Are there right views that everybody should have?
I think for sure we shouldn't be, like, converting people into, like, the same type of view. But at the same time, it's really hard to make, well, to keep the diversity, because people, like, everybody has the same, I mean, not same, but, like, different point of view. But we are also, like, raised in the same community or, like, same type of, like, culture. So it's hard to, I don't know, it's complicated.
Yeah, I mean, tolerance is about when someone's different to you, either they look different or they behave differently or they hold different political or religious views, that you can not change your own views necessarily, but allow them to have theirs. I mean, do you think that's something that's important in society?
I think that's very important, but it really depends on, like, what type of topic you're talking about. Because when we are talking about, like, LGBTQ, yeah, of course, I think we should, like, tolerate to LGBTQ group. But sometimes when you have really radical view, sometimes people don't really accept it.
Yeah.
Let's say, like, it might be, like, an inappropriate, like, topic, but if someone is, like, I don't know, like, white supremacy type of thing,
right.
But they still have their rights to speak
yeah.
of their point of view, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if we should be tolerant, like,
no.
if it comes to that type of topic.
Well, yeah.
And that's where it gets pretty complicated to me.
Okay. What about you? What do you think? Do you think there's a line that we should draw? Some people draw the line that it, you know, as long as a view doesn't hurt anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And some people I interviewed earlier were saying, you know, even like standing on a street corner and sort of saying, you know, gays are evil and are going to hell or something,
exactly.
that is hurting people, so that's taken it too far. I mean, do you think that maybe it's okay if people aren't hurting people?
I definitely agree with him. It's like you have your freedom of your speech and we have our own freedom of how we do in response.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people feel like if they're tolerant, that it almost means like they have to lose their own belief in order to be tolerant. Is that something you feel, or do you feel like you can hold two views? Can you, as long as someone's not being nasty,
mm-hmm.
do you think, well, you know, they can have their view and I'll have mine?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Like, as long as it's, like, not, I don't know. Like I said, like, if it's, like, really radical, I
yeah.
really don't know how I feel about it.
No.
You know, the case of, like, the Ohio, like, act about the KKK group type of thing?
Right. Yes.
I really didn't
yeah.
know, like, what I feel about it. Because I feel bad for taking away their freedom of speech. But at the same time, I really, really don't agree with what
yeah.
they were talking about. So, like, I'm like, I don't know about this.
No.
It's pretty arbitrary to me.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it's undoubtedly some things are dangerous. Someone else mentioned about, you know, how in Germany, mm. obviously because of their history, they have very strong laws about
yeah.
hate speech, you
yes.
know, so...
Yes. Exactly. I was actually in Germany, like, a few months ago, and we were talking, having the same type of conversation about it, and I was like, I think that's how government works, that's where government or, like, the public policy should stand out to us, and then, like, keep, I don't know, like, keep someone... like, hold some people accountable and, like, keep
yeah.
everybody in check.
Yeah.
I do agree with that, and I think that's something our government should do, too.
Yeah. Finally, there's two artists, Ilya and Emilia Kabakov, who have a project called The Ship of Tolerance, and they've done it around the world. It's like an art installation.
Mm.
They work with children. They build a ship, and then all the children do, like, paintings that are made into a sail.
Mm.
And they're sort of just teaching them about the fact that people have different views, different religions, different, you know, perspectives. Do you think that it would be useful at school for children to be taught about values and just the idea of that people are different and that can be okay?
Yes, definitely. I think you should, yeah, we should probably start from, like, kids.
Did you have anything like that when you were at school?
Not really.
No. I don't think so, because I was, like, born and raised in China, and, like, I had a lot of, like, pressure from, like, academic and everything like that, so, like, we didn't really have any time for this.
Yeah.
And also, there isn't, it's not super, like, diverse, like,
right.
like, in China, so, like, we didn't really have that type of problem. It's not, like, in the States, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's pretty important for us to, like, kind of include that part in our education system, for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for talking to me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our topic discussion this week for Out and About, we're considering what does tolerance look like. And just to remind you again, if you are interested in the art installation children's project that I have been mentioning in my questions by Ilya and Emilia Kabakov, then they have a wonderful website, shipoftolerance.com. And I also interviewed Emilia Kabakov for the Arts Hour of my show. So if you go to the website at the top on the homepage, there are two tabs, guests and topics. If you click on topics, then you will find all the previous topics that we've done on the show. There's little photographs and you can click on anything that interests you. get information and play the podcasts. And if it's guests that you're interested in, you click on guests and there's little photos of the guests with their name and what their particular art is. And if you click on that, then there's photographs, information, usually links to their websites, and also, of course, the interview with the podcast. So when I interviewed Amelia in part one of her interview, it's a series of two, she does talk about the Ship of Tolerance and her experiences around the world. So if that's something that's resonating with you, you might want to go to the show website. It's aquestionofbalance.com and check out Emilia Kabakoff's interview. And just again, the actual website for the Ship of Tolerance is just shipoftolerance.com. So that's fairly straightforward there. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with more conversations after these messages.
Ciao. I'm Luca from Tramonti at 528 Seabright Avenue, steps from the ocean. We are the authentic Italian pizza and pasta restaurant, serving also organic salad and house-made dessert in a friendly family-style atmosphere, indoor or on our lovely patio.
Tramonti is open every day from noon to 9 and later on Fridays and Saturdays. Come enjoy our specials every Tuesday neighborhood night and the best deal for a healthy bite at lunch every day.
We bake our bread and prep our fresh pasta and pizza daily. Beppe, Daniel and I want to say grazie to the Santa Cruz community for supporting us in the past 2 years. Allora, buon appetito!
Visit Luca and Beppe at Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue. That's Tremonti, 528 Seabright Avenue.
Can you imagine living without stress, anxiety, or fear? And can you imagine a life filled with harmony and inner peace? Is that even possible? The Ananda Yoga and Meditation Center in Scotts Valley offers simple tools to help you become more effective at work and more centered in the face of life's challenges. At Ananda, we offer yoga classes for everybody, inspiring workshops, devotional chanting, and Sunday services based on the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda. Our teachers and therapists are highly trained professionals who work together to inspire a healthier you. And your first Ananda Yoga class is always free. Visit us at anandascottsvalley.org or call 338-YOGA. That's anandascottsvalley.org or 338-YOGA.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And this week we're featuring out and about thought-provoking conversations on the street. And this week we're considering tolerance. So let's hear my last conversation.
Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to be interviewed for Out and About. What is your name?
Mike.
Well, thanks, Mike. And this week we're considering, what does tolerance look like? I'm wondering whether you think tolerance is something that is necessary in society.
It is, to a certain point. I believe that you should always give someone the chance, and you can try and look and understand their perspective of it. But, you know, I'm only human. I run out of patience.
So if we look at wider society, you know, issues of sort of religion, race, sexual orientation, how should we distinguish between what should and should not be tolerated? Because obviously some people have different opinions on that.
As long as it doesn't hurt other people, I don't really care what other people do. It's their own business.
How would you define hurt?
Physically or emotionally damaging them.
Okay, so then we have the issue of you know, people are critical of snowflakes, in inverted commas, or highly sensitive people who are, you know, they consider to be hurt too easily, which is obviously a value judgment. So how would you think that can be dealt with?
That's a tough one because, like I mentioned earlier, I'm not the most patient person. So if someone's being ridiculous, I'll call them out on it. But it's kind of hard to define on whether they're overreacting or not. So that's a tough question.
Right. Okay. I mean, in a broader sort of sense, with, say, let's say gay rights, do you think the people in the population of that belief should be the ones who determine what's hurtful and what isn't?
Yeah, that makes sense. If it doesn't affect you, then you shouldn't be really making sanctions on what should and shouldn't be considered rude or hurtful.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously complicated because, you know, you can't have a complete consensus on this. So, you know, one always thinks that it should be fairly clear and if you're just sensible that all this could be sorted out. But then there's sort of extreme examples of, you know, sort of white supremacists and Nazis. And, you know, one wonders whether there should be some kind of regulation of where the line is drawn. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Well, those are different things because, like, the gay rights movement, that's involving themselves and, like, skinhead, you know, racists and all that, that's affecting other people. Mm. So that's kind of where you draw the line of who gets to say what's offensive to other people.
Okay, so that's interesting. So what you're saying is that if you're being critical of another party, then you don't get to decide what's offensive in your criticism because...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good differentiation, actually. Public political discussion of late has become quite disrespectful and demeaning of opponents in recent times in many instances. I'm wondering whether you think this has any bearing on wider tolerance in society. I mean, not necessarily that it's happened yet, or you may think that it has, but whether you think how our elected figures behave has some bearing on society at large.
I do. It's a reflection of how our society has kind of, not exactly a bad way, but sort of relaxed in the sense of, like, way back when, like 40 years ago, you know, saying darn or damn was kind of a bad word. And it's kind of just more relaxed over time, and people have relaxed to sort of being mean to each other. And it's not exactly a good thing, but it's just kind of how society has changed over time.
I mean, do you think that elected figures should be held to a higher standard, even because they're in the public eye and how they're behaving is in some ways setting an example?
I mean, you would hope that they would be held to a higher standard, but clearly they're not right now.
Yeah. With tolerance, where it comes down to people's religious beliefs, where they're making an actual moral judgment, where they think something is evil or wrong, do you think that gives them more license to express their views and try and change behaviours, or do you think it still falls under the thing of, you know, you have to just respect what other people think and believe?
Well, it goes back to, like, what I said earlier. It's affecting other groups, not their own. So that's where I think they kind of don't have the authority to say that sort of thing.
So even if the people they disapprove of are going to hell or whatever, that doesn't really affect them very much. I suppose they're feeling like maybe those people could corrupt some of their community.
I could see that. But then there's the whole, you know, pray the gay away thing, and that's their own people, And it's tough, but that's, again, putting your own beliefs onto someone else, even if it's someone within your own group.
Right.
And I think that's not cool.
Yeah. Are there particular areas that you feel tolerance should apply to, or is most important to apply to, or do you think it just sort of covers the full gamut of what people believe and feel? Do you think that, you know, it's particularly important in terms of racism or political beliefs or sexual orientation, or do you think just everything should be respected as long as it's not hurting other people?
Yes. I think people shouldn't be allowed to affect or to have their opinions affect other people in negative ways like that. Obviously, the main, you know, made stories on that are racism, sexism, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But those are extreme examples that rise to the top. But I think it should just be a general thing.
Sometimes there's a view that perhaps by tolerating something that you're diluting your own position and that stops people being tolerant. Is that something that you see happening at all, that you feel, you know, does that apply?
No, I mean, like, if you're friends with someone who has the complete opposite perspective of you, you can express your opinion to them about it, but you should not, like, badger them over the head to change their ways just because you have a different perspective about it.
There's two world-famous artists, Ilya and Emilia Kabakov, and they have a project called The Ship of Tolerance that they have done in various places around the world, particularly in communities with a lot of immigrants. And they build a wooden ship. It's an art installation project, and they do sort of workshops about tolerance with the children, not giving any sort of value judgments on any particular way of thinking, just explaining that there are different ways of thinking and believing and that people look different and things like that. And then the children all make paintings, which are chosen then to make into the sail of the ship. So thinking about this, which I personally think is a wonderful project, I'm wondering what you think about whether it would be useful in the education system to have some teaching of values of which tolerance could perhaps be one, and whether that would be helpful.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope that kids would gain, you know, life lessons and of tolerance and stuff from their parents or from their friends, or just pick it up from adults in their life, but a lot of times it doesn't, and maybe there should be some sort of, at least when they're younger, when it's not so study oriented, maybe like start it early in kindergarten and first grade, all those.
Yeah.
You know, have tolerance and understanding.
I mean, it is said that hate is something that is learnt. And, you know, generally speaking, if you put children together that haven't learnt to hate or to see difference, that they don't really care about that. It's just like they either like each other or they don't, but it's not based on any attributes necessarily. So maybe starting young would be good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, instill it early, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your thoughts. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Have a nice day.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Coplin, and thank you very much to all the people who took part in my on-the-street conversations this week. And just a reminder, if you're interested in the Ship of Tolerance, there's a wonderful website, shipoftolerance.com, where you can see photos, video, and support the Ship of Tolerance, should you wish. Remember that we have a guest arts hour as well as a topic hour, so do listen in for that and visit the website. It's a question of balance.com for past podcasts of previous topic shows and arts guests. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to you joining me again next time.